Where no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. And wanted to welcome any visitors that we have this morning. And we're still coming in. We're still trickling in, and that is wonderful. And before we get started, wanted to remind you of a few things. One, if you have a hard time hearing me this morning, we have hearing devices that are out in the hallway. If you walk out those double doors, they're on the right. They look like little radios, and you can put them in your ear, and you will be able to hear me a lot better. And also, if you are new here this morning, or if you have something that changed in your contact information, we would love if you would fill out one of these. They're located in your pews, or they should be in front of you. And you can just update us on the information and fold it up and put it in the offering plate later in the service so that we can keep in communication with you and continue to let you know what is happening here at Union. And last but not least, prayer requests are on the back. And later in the service, we have a time where we share prayer requests with each other out loud. But if there is something that is going on that you just want to keep private, that is what this is for. And you can fill out your prayer request on the back, and again, fold it up and put it in the offering plate, and that would be for my eyes only. So, as you can see over my shoulder here, that we have something new going on. Is it okay? We thought we would try to do the announcements this way, and this is everything that I know of that is happening inside the church. And wanted to have you look at that, and that way you have a visual. So, but besides these other announcements that are up on here, does anybody else have any announcements? Oh, we got Tom over here, and then Karen, you have one as well.
Same one.
Just a reminder that today is the day of our July semi-annual meeting, an important meeting when we elect our leadership for the coming year. So please do stay after worship today, come into the Friendship Hall, and we'll have a very brief meeting, 10 minutes probably or so, and we will get the business of the church taken care of. Thanks.
Oh, 10 minutes for an annual meeting, or semi-annual. I love how this church works.
Just a reminder that the Lions will be having a pancake breakfast on the fourth of August, Sunday, starting at 8 and goes till 11 o'clock. So if it's in the bulletin, I believe, but just to remember.
All benefits go to Faith in Action.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by taking a time of silence and reflection. Join me in the call to worship. We gather here today to give witness to the enduring realities of life. We have come to worship God. Let us come with expectations. The same God guides us all the way, every day in our lives and beyond life. Let us praise God. Join with me in prayer. God, we thank you that you have sensed your presence in our world and in our lives. We have heard the knock at the door of our hearts, and we are honored to let you in to be in the community with us. You are the light and hope of creation. Help us to know you more, to feel your spirit, and to hear you more clearly. Amen. Let us stand and sing hymn number 293, Sweet, Sweet Spirit, and we're going to do verses 1 and 2. Please rise. Peace of God be with you. Let us connect with our friends and our family and greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Our lesson this morning is written in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts in the New Testament, verses 26 through 40. As Tori has told us, the book of Acts is a second chapter, really, of the book of Luke. Or to put it another way, the book of Luke tells the story of the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus, and the book of Acts, evidently by the same author, tells us the story of the history of the very early church. This particular passage tells us of the journey of one of the disciples, John, from Jerusalem to Gaza. And at the end of the lesson, I discovered there's a name of a town where he finds himself called Azotus, which I had not been familiar with before. I looked it up. It's now a town of about 15,000 people near the coast, the Mediterranean coast in the southern part of Israel, about 15 miles or so northeast of the city of Gaza in Palestine. So the name of the town is Azotus. Put that in your memory bank as part of your biblical study for the morning. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. And now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" And then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came away out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Here ends the reading of this morning's lesson.
Thank you, Tom. For those of you who don't know me, I have a dog named Caesar. For those of you who do know me, you know that he is very important in my life. And since moving up here, him and I both have had a transition period of getting used to the North Woods. And we made it through the winter, and we're loving summer. But one thing to know about Caesar and I is that we are not water animals. I don't like water. I like water. I do take showers. However, I don't swim. I don't swim, and I don't like going into water. And therefore, my dog doesn't really like going into the water either, and he doesn't understand what the lakes are for. And so I have been walking him down to Little Birch down here by the park, and I've been letting him just play in the water. And what he has been doing so far is just kind of wading into his knees, walking, drinking a little bit, looking up at me, going, is this what I do? And he's done that the whole summer. And he likes going into it because he likes the coolness, but he doesn't quite understand what he can do. Well, this week, I went down there, and there was a family there with two yellow labs. And I was walking up, and I had them on the leash, and the labs were off-leash, and so we were communicating back and forth. So it was a family. The kids were in the water there. It's two yellow labs. Caesar and I are walking up, and he's like, I'll go get the leashes from the truck. And I said, okay, that's great. And we waited. And I'm like, you know what? Are you okay with just letting me have him off leash? And they're like, yeah, we're fine with it. So I let him off leash. The dogs greeted one another. They turned in circles. They did what dogs do. And then the yellow labs shot into the lake. And Caesar stood there, and I think he did a double take, like, wait, aren't we friends? And he followed them into the lake, and he started wading like he normally does, licking a little bit. And these dogs started tearing around and going back and forth, and their owners were throwing balls and throwing frisbees into the lake, and the dogs were just diving in and going after them and bringing them back. And Caesar, it was all of a sudden the light bulb went on, and he started running, and he picked out one kid, and he just started doing circles around the kid. And the kid is like, he stepped on my toes, but that's okay. And he was so excited because it was like he finally figured out what the lake was for. And at one point, the people said, okay, then go get the ball. And they threw it, and Caesar's like, no, you want me to go do what? And he didn't get the ball, but what he ended up doing is he started taking off as fast as he could down the lake shore towards private property. And I'm standing on the dock going, no, you can't go that far. That's like nowhere land. That's off limits. And he came back and he tore back down the shoreline, and he tried to get onto the dock by jumping from the water. Didn't work. He understands that lesson now. Slammed his chest into the dock. But he was free. It's like he knew exactly what the water was for now. He knew that he could play. He got over this fear. Got past his wall of fear. He got past his wall of not understanding. And he found new life and understanding about how to live his life. And so we went down there again a few days later, and he remembered. And I took him off leash, and he started splashing, and I even took a stick, and I threw it out there a little ways. He went and got it. And it's like, I think he's a water dog now, which kind of scares me, because that means I have to be a water person. But he got past the walls that kept him from being the type of dog that he could be. And I was very excited about that. And I think that ties into our lesson so well this week. And this is our second week in a series called Walls. And last week we talked about the apostles, the original 12 disciples who were reluctant to go outside of Jerusalem's walls to speak the name of Jesus. And even though Jesus commanded them to go into all Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth, but they didn't do it. We talked about the walls of uncertainty, where we fear what we don't know, and therefore we don't try to leave our comfort zone. And last week also, we visited the story of Stephen, who was stoned because of his boldness in speaking Jesus' message. The religious leaders did not appreciate Stephen's words, and they ended up killing him. And we read about a man named Saul, a Jewish Pharisee, who began going house to house and arresting those who claimed Jesus was the Messiah. And Saul saw Jesus' followers as a threat. He saw them as a threat to his faith, his Jewish faith, and he reacted with violence. Persecution broke out, and Jesus' followers scattered, all except the apostles, who stayed in Jerusalem. And so we spoke about the walls of uncertainty, but we also spoke about the walls of misunderstanding or not wanting to understand. And we fail or we don't try to understand another person's point of view, and therefore we only see our own viewpoint. And we get stubborn. It's our stubbornness that holds us back. These types of walls in ancient times and even in modern day can be detrimental to interacting with the world around us. So for the sake of today's sermon, we're going to rename these walls so that we can simplify them, but also maybe remember them better. The first one is the walls of fear and the walls of stubbornness. So instead of the walls of uncertainty, we have the wall of fear. Instead of the walls of misunderstanding or the walls of not wanting to understand, we have the walls of stubbornness. We will be applying these walls to our story today to see how the walls can be broken through. Even when we face our fears and become less stubborn in our own opinion. In today's story, we have a disciple named Philip, who gets called to go south towards Gaza on a road that is labeled a wilderness road. And it says, then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go towards the south to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and he went. So my first question when I read this is, who is Philip? Where did he come from? Now, there's an apostle, one of the 12, who's named Philip. But this is not that Philip. This is a different one. This Philip was introduced earlier in Acts 6. And in this chapter, it seemed that the 12 disciples needed to delegate some responsibility. The number of disciples were increasing. They were growing and they were growing and they were growing. And some of the widows were getting neglected with getting their food. And so the disciples, the 12, got together and chose several men to make sure the widows were fed. And Philip was one of these people. His job was to serve food and take care of the widows. And when persecution broke out, Philip was one of the ones that scattered. He went outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And he ran for his life. He felt like he had no choice but to run. And the author of Acts follows Philip's story for a little while. And this story is interesting because it's almost like a little side story. It doesn't really fit into the meta narrative of what Acts is trying to do. It's like this little story exists on the side where you almost have to use the words, meanwhile, on a wilderness road, and then it cuts to that scene. And it has really nothing to do with the meta-narrative, but it does communicate a very important point. And it says, now there was an Ethiopian eunuch. I don't know where to point this now. Oh, no. Heidi, can you get me back to the... That's a song we're singing later. No, right here. This is where I want to be. Okay. We got a new projection system. We're trying to still figure things out a little bit. This is where I want to be. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. And in these two sentences, there's a lot of information. An Ethiopian. Ethiopia, in ancient times, represented what people believed to be the ends of the earth. It was the edge of the unknown world, or the known world. In a Jewish person's context, there was nothing more foreign than someone from Ethiopia. They were of a different race. They were unfamiliar with their ways. And not only was this person Ethiopian, but this person was a eunuch, a castrated male. And it says that he went to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home, and he was sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. This person, this Ethiopian, had some type of faith in God. And when just reading this, you don't think much about it until you know a little bit of what is not written. The eunuchs were not allowed to worship in the temple. They were not allowed in church. And I find it compelling and heartbreaking to realize that this person who is sexually different be a person of faith, but yet cannot worship in community like everybody else. So here is Philip, who God calls from table ministry to widows, to preaching to this very different person in the middle of nowhere. And he finds this man who is both racially and sexually different and finds him trying to figure out what the ancient scriptures mean. And Philip was courageous enough to break through the walls of fear and break through the walls of stubbornness and to minister to someone incredibly different from himself. And here's what Philip basically did. He entered into the Ethiopian's world. He was invited into the chariot, invited to sit down and talk with him, and become part of what was happening in his life. Philip started where the Ethiopian was at. He started with the scripture that he had right in front of him. Philip didn't start about talking about Genesis or Exodus or anything that happened within the Jewish culture. He met this person where he was at and spoke to him in a way that he could understand. And he proclaimed the good news about Jesus. And the story concludes with Philip baptizing this Ethiopian eunuch into the faith of Jesus. And the message of Jesus was getting out to Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And God used Philip, not one of the apostles, to get the message of Jesus out. It is Philip who initiates the mission to the ends of the earth. A table server to widows. And so we read the story and we think, well, that's great. That was then. And it's a nice story. But what does this mean for us in today? I mean, this story is an ancient text written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. We're more familiar with Ethiopia now. And as far as eunuchs, I don't know any of them personally. But it seems like a story that is pretty foreign to us. But is it? Going back to Caesar, he had this revelation of breaking through these walls of fear and stubbornness and learning how to play in the water. And I think Philip and Caesar have a lot in common because Philip also broke through the walls of fear and stubbornness. And he got to realize what loving God and loving people really meant. Philip wasn't a preacher like the apostles. He served food to widows. But God used him. Philip broke through the walls of fear by seeing more than who he thought he should be, a server of food. And he broke into a new journey and calling into where God was leading him, into the good news of Jesus Christ and proclaiming that to others. He broke through walls of fear by not allowing anyone to define who he was or what he was supposed to do. And God defined who he was. And God defined what he was supposed to do. Philip was a food server. And he was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philip broke through the walls of stubbornness. Philip entered the world of an Ethiopian eunuch, a type of person who Philip probably had never met before. He took the time to sit down with them and to talk with them and to answer questions. And Philip was bold enough to speak about Jesus in a way that this person could really understand. And then he baptized him. And Philip welcomed this person into the community of Christ. And Philip ended up breaking down walls and speaking words of life into this human being who was marginalized in the Jewish world by his race and by his sexuality. Not many of us sitting here today are preachers. There are many sitting here who might view themselves as servers of food. You might run a business, work with flowers, clean. But we would never consider ourselves preachers or ministers of the gospel. But we are. God uses us in incredibly different ways. And we can break through the walls of fear by seeing more than just who we think we are, and enter into a journey and calling into where God is leading us, and sharing the good news of Jesus, whether we use our words or whether we use our actions. And we can break through walls of fear by not allowing anyone to define who we are or what we're supposed to be doing. And God defines who we are and what we're supposed to do. And God defines who this church is and what we're supposed to do. We are food servers, yes. We are business owners, yes. We are florists, yes. We are cleaners, yes. We are retirees, yes. And we are servants of God who get to talk about Jesus and get to show people Jesus. We can break through the walls of our stubbornness as Philip entered this world of the Ethiopian eunuch. We too can enter into a world of those who are very different from us, a type of person who we probably have never really met before. We can take the time to sit with them and talk with them and answer their questions. And we can be bold enough to speak about Jesus in a way that this person maybe can understand for the first time. And then welcome them into community with us and welcome them into the community of Christ. Caesar is learning to take risks, to overcome his fear, to overcome his stubbornness. And it is my hope that Union Congregational does the same thing, that we break down walls and speak words of life into human beings who are marginalized in this world by race, by sexuality, by age, by religion, by sex, or the ability or disability. Let us continue to do that. Let us continue to break down walls and speak words of life to people who desperately need that. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and sing. I have to go over here to tell you what page to turn to. Let us sing sing them over again to me, page 319 in your hymnals, and let's stand, if you can, and sing the song. Seated. Let us take this time to share joys and concerns, prayer requests and praises. Does anyone have a prayer request or a praise? I do have an update on Dick Olson. Dolly called the church this morning, and she says that Dick is doing 100% better, that he is back at the VA, that he is going through physical therapy, he's going through speech therapy, and he's going through a third kind of therapy, eating and teaching him how to eat again. And so he is doing better. She says that he is alert and that he is interacting with nurses and interacting with people. And it's still quite a bit of a long road, but he got over another hump, and she says that he is doing well. And also prayers for Dolly and Don. They were supposed to be here this morning, but there was some stuff that happened to their house up here, and they needed to deal with that. So just seems one thing right after another. It doesn't seem like they can catch a break. So prayers for Dick, prayers for Dolly and Don as they continue to just go through life. Any other prayer requests or praises? Yes. Oh, do we have a microphone? Yep. Oh, right up here. Yep. Thank you.
I would like a prayer request for our son, Scott, who's been dealing with cancer for 4 years and doing quite well. His cancer has returned. And he will be having CyberKnife treatment, 3 of them, I believe, one starting next Thursday. So please keep Scott in your prayers.
Is that considered surgery? Is that CyberKnife?
It's not a surgery. No, it's
like radiation. Okay.
Radiation.
Okay.
a prayer of gratitude and happiness for the invitation that we got from our neighbors and friends at Onigam to share a meal with them and then share in their wonderful, moving celebration, their community powwow that many of us were able to participate in last night.
Yes. Yeah, that was my first powwow that I ever have gone to, and it was just a very neat experience.
Last week, Heidi asked for prayers for Lowell or Cub, who had surgery on his back, and he had on Thursday, and we received notice that everything went well. He is recovering. He is going to have to not move his back or twist for 3 months at least. So keep Cub and his family in your prayers.
His name was Lowell, is that right? Lowell? Cubby? Cubby. Okay. I'm just going to say Lowell. Is that okay? Sorry, I didn't mean that to be funny, but I'm going to use Lowell. Any other prayer requests or praises? Okay, let's go to God in prayer. God of creation, we come today to worship you and to adore you. We come knowing that you are in control, that you are a God who is very active in your creation, and that you're very close to the hearts of people. We know that we can call on you and you are there for us. And we know that you are faithful, and we know that we can trust you. God, we come before you today to lift our praises up to you. God, we thank you that some of us could be part of a powwow last night, that we got to see a different culture. We got to see outside of our boundaries a different way of how people live in community. God, we thank you for that community, for the Onigam community that they invited us in, that they shared a meal with us, that we got to celebrate with them, and that they opened the doors for us and welcomed us. And we ask that you continue to build that relationship. God, we thank you for Lowell, that his back surgery went well. And God, you know that he has a long journey ahead of him as he can't move for the next 3 months. And we ask that you are close to him, that he knows that you're there, that you give him patience, that you give him strength. God, we ask that as he lays there for these next few months, that you protect him. Protect him from loneliness, protect him from bed sores, and help him to continue to heal. We also pray for Scott, knowing that his cancer has returned, and knowing that he is going under treatment this Thursday. God, you have been with Scott on this journey. And you've seen the ups and downs, and you have been with the family through everything. And we thank you for your faithfulness. And God, we ask that you continue to be faithful, that you continue to give strength and encouragement to Scott and his family. And we pray for healing. God, we ask that you give the doctors and the nurses the wisdom to know what is going on in Scott's body. And God, we pray for Dick as well, knowing that he is in the hospital in this long recovery process of just injury after injury. And there's always something going on inside of his body that they have to figure out. God, I also ask that you are close to Dick, as he is there in the VA. Surround him with people that encourage him, and surround him with people who will treat him kindly, that you give him an understanding that people want to protect him and not hurt him. And we also pray for Dolly and Don as they go through all of this with Dick, and then having their issues with the cabin and getting things in life straight so that they can care for their brother. We ask that you give them strength. We ask that you give them clarity and help them continue to care for their brother. God, we come before you knowing that there are times in life that we don't live up to what you want us to be. There are times where we accidentally hurt people with our words and with our actions. And we ask at this time that you forgive us. Forgive us for our words and actions when we don't represent Jesus the way that we should. And God, we thank you for your forgiveness and your faithfulness, and knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we enter now in unity as a congregation, as we say the words of Jesus, your Son, who has taught us to pray, our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for our morning tithes and offerings? Thank you. Please pray with me. God, we dedicate our lives and all that we have to the work of life, love, and peace. Receive our gifts and lead us in wisdom and courage. Amen. Let us sing one last song together. O Christ, the Great Foundation, verses 1 and 2. It's on page 387 of your hymnal. Friends, receive the benediction. May God the Creator walk with you this week. May Christ shine through you. And may the Spirit work in you so that we bring the words of life to people in this world, in this community, in Hackensack. Go now in peace. Amen.
much because I bought three grand pianos, I think, at one time, bought one for them.
Oh.
And one is, I don't remember the names of any of them anymore, but one of them had a Stein reaction. And of course, Stein was the number one.
Oh, what happened to the microphone?
Oh, he didn't hear. No, in the church, you know, most of the world, all churches have been more upright than that. And the piano player, he couldn't see anything at all. And he had his back to the people and everything else. And it was kind of a bad deal. But I got a grind at home, but it's a small one. It's about the size of it. But I bought it from my wife when we got married, but I think nobody plays it anymore.
So
she's gone, and the boy's got his own piano, and I'm trying to give up the plan.
What's that?
I suppose I better let you go. You probably want to do something. But you're doing a nice job of playing.
She played a beautiful piece.
Which one?
The one that you did last year. And the one? The last?
Right.
Family of God?
Claire used to sing that years ago. It's out of the Love Reaching book.
Yeah.
You
were so lucky.
Or during the offer.
Oh. Thank you.
I would have been there too.
Didn't you think so? She does good.
Oh, yeah. She plays nice.
Not when I have to play after Kathleen.
Oh, you do wonderful.
She does so good.
I'm sorry I used that thing at Ellie's, but I'll be there tomorrow.
Good to see you again.
I'm just visiting around.
Well, of course.
I went to churches in the area, you know, for 50 years or more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Testing, testing, testing. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone, again. The time comes, and now is, to call to order the semi-annual meeting of Union Congregational Church, which I am happy to do. Is Tori in our midst? Would you tell her she's on the agenda? Tori, come and pray for us.
Let us pray. God, thank you so much for this time that we can share together and just see the church as a whole and to look at the future and just to be here together. And God, we help. We ask for your help. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your peace during this time. In Christ's name, amen.
Don't go away. Thanks, Tori. If you would like a copy of the annual report, if you don't have one in front of you, Joni has extras in her hands.
Looks like Fred needs one.
You will see on page 4 the agenda printed. And the first thing we do is approve the minutes of the January meeting. That's the meeting of this past January. And you will find those, I think, on page 9, halfway down. You'll see they're very brief. They consist mainly of the account of the approval of the Financial Stewardship Board's report and the approval of the budget. Are there any questions or comments on those minutes? I would entertain a motion to approve them. Don, second, please. Burton seconds the motion. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes of January 27th, 2019, please say aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the annual report presentations. You will find my report on page 6, and I'll let that speak for itself, unless you have questions you'd like to ask about it or anything you'd like to add. Karen Holly is our clerk, and her report. Karen, what page are you on? Page 8? Page 9. Those are the minutes, and your report includes sort of statistics about the deaths of members and friends and the members who've been removed by request and the marriages that Tori has performed and the new members who've been welcomed into the church. Any questions about Karen's report? Tori?
I have one thing to add under marriages that I also married Joe and Bonnie. So let's not, don't forget about Joe and Bonnie.
Also, marriage is spelled M-A-R-A-I-G-E. There is no printed facilities report. Mike, would you care to say anything about facilities? Okay. Yeah.
I'm right now on restricted. I can't do nothing. So I'm a cardiologist. So I've got a week to fix that hole in the back right now.
Okay.
The only thing that's critical right now is
yeah. Well, I would like to take this opportunity to commend you and Ron Merritt for the job you've done to keep this church intact over the past year. there's been a large number of things that have needed attention. Too many to rehearse right now, but things have just been very well attended to and kept in great shape, and we're very grateful to you for that. The Justice Ministry team, do you have a printed report, Fred? Yeah. Would you like to say anything? Except a great time was had at the powwow last night. Any questions of Fred or the Justice Ministry team? Okay. Great. Christian Learning, Joe. There you are. Would you like to say anything? Well, I'd like to commend you, too, and your learning team. You are by far one of the most productive groups in the church. The men's fellowship, Ron Merritt isn't here. He's recovering from surgery on Thursday, I think it was, or Friday, I'm not sure. But I haven't heard anything about how that's come out. Has anybody heard anything? I suspect everything went normally. Women's Fellowship, it says Joni here. It would be Linda Merritt. I'm sure she's taking care of Ron. Okay.
I would like to say that remember that Women's Fellowship is the second Thursday of every month. It's easy to forget, but put it on your calendar. I know last month it was a very slim number of people that were able to come. So put the second Thursday ladies on your calendar and come and have a little social event.
Thank you. Thank you. Stan, would you like to make any comments about our finances?
Well, I think the only thing to say is that things are really going very well financially for the church this year. Everybody has been really good at their generosity. We're at kind of where we expected to be.
Thanks, Dan. Sure.
We are going to be in our stewardship campaign for 2020 in August. And so that
we good. Thank you. at this point, I would entertain a motion to receive the annual reports as presented to you in this printed annual report. Is there a motion to receive the reports, please? Stan? Moved. Burton has seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor of approving the reports, please say aye. Those opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. Before we go on to the election of officers, I would like to call on Tori to talk a little bit about an idea she has for August 24th. Would you like to speak to that?
I was told I wouldn't have to. August 24th, it's a Saturday morning from like 9 to 12. We are inviting the congregation to come to a reminiscing and a dreaming about Union Congregational. We want to remember our past and reminisce about stories and who we were as a people, remember some of our members, but also dreaming about the future and what Union Congregational is now and what it will be in the future. So I'm inviting the congregation to come on that Saturday, August 24th, from 9 to 12, and just come to remember and reminisce, but also opening our hearts and our minds up to what God is going to do with this church and with our members.
Reminiscing and dreaming. Thanks, Tori. You will find the slate of officers to be elected at the conclusion of my report, which will be on page 8. And as you may recall, 2 or 3 years ago, we suspended the section of the Constitution that governs the structure of the church because we were no longer able to feel the number of people necessary to fill all of the 9 boards that were in the Constitution. And so we no longer elect those boards. We simply elect the 4 officers who are the legally appointed leaders and representatives of the congregation. Joni Kumpula has agreed to serve as moderator for the next 2 years. I've agreed to serve as vice moderator. Cheryl Kobish has agreed to serve again as our treasurer and Karen as our clerk. You can see that this is a tire that rotates. And one might say that the tread is becoming barer and barer. So think about that in terms of...